Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter. This is the parable of the minas. Verse number 11 of chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel. If you'll read along with me, then it will move quite well. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once, he said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subject hated him, sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you're a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for truth. I thank you for the awareness that we have of your incredible appreciation of life. I thank you this morning that your word over and over again teaches us the value of stewardship, of taking what is yours that has been placed into our hands and making it work, making it multiply. By your great grace and mercy this morning, we take hold of the truth of your word and we ask that you would drive it home to our hearts that we might grow and flourish in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to continue our limited study of a few weeks on stewardship. And actually asking this question, and this will be kind of the beginning and the ending of this, and that is, what kind of steward are you? Stewardship begins, as I said last week, with the knowledge that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. We have to begin there with the recognition that this everything in this world, including all mankind, belongs to the Lord. And if God is the owner of all things, then we are stewards or managers of that which he has entrusted to our care. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, so then ought to regard us as servants of Christ, as those entrusted with the secret things of God. He is talking to those who have accepted the truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that he came into the world to give his life for sinners. How many know the Lord this morning? Then you belong to him. Paul says, your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. So there is a call then. If God is the owner of all things and we are stewards of what he has entrusted to us, then we should be aware of what kind of stewards that we are. I'm going to give you three examples of a steward. And I challenge you this morning to align yourself to one of these three. Also, because this is Sanctity of Life Sunday, and because I believe in the sanctity of life, I hope you do too. Folks, realize this is not a political issue. They have made it a political issue, but it is not a political issue. This is a moral issue. This is a Bible issue. In him was life, and that life was the light of the world. Our Lord is in charge of life. And as we're remembering the countless lives that have been lost to abortion in our country and around the world, I feel like it would be beneficial for us to be reminded that we're stewards of life itself. I think it's interesting here in this parable, each one of the 10 were given a mina, one apiece. You and I were given one life. We don't get a second chance. Maybe there are things in your life you wish you could back up and take over. How many realize this morning you can't do that? Some of you don't. You will learn this. You can't back up. We get one chance to move our way through life and the choices that we make, good ones and bad ones, then we live with the result of those things. You see, what I think that we're not reckoning with as a people in the earth and the world today is the fact that when we cheapen life, then all the aspects of life begin to come into question. We're already seeing this. We're just at the edges of it right now. But I believe if we continue on the course of our attitude, and I'm talking about mankind on the earth today, if we continue on the course that we are in of the cheapness, if you will, of life that we have, that it is down to simply a choice that we can make whether life proceeds or doesn't, you're going to see more. We're already seeing on the horizon euthanasia. That is, on the other end of the spectrum, from the babies, that is, those who are senior adults, evaluations are being made on a daily basis as to whether or not that life is still worth holding on to. We're seeing this. I'm not going to name states and things like that because I can't give you actual quotes. But here in our own country, as the COVID spread took place and hospital beds came into question, they were, in some places here in the United States, making decisions about this one can live, this one will not live. This one gets help, this one does not. We're in a dangerous place. But you see, we've already crossed the bridge of lessening our value of life. What I'm saying to you this morning, as believers and as those who are watching this morning, whether you are a believer or you're not, you and I are given one life, our own. Sometimes the Lord entrusts us with adding a life to ours, and that is where we have children. And we could talk a great deal about the further responsibilities that we have in that. But let me just back this down to an appreciation and the value of the life that you and I have been given. Because see, I believe that when we talk about what kind of steward are you, it really begins right here. What kind of steward are you of the life that you have been given by your Creator? I'm going to give you three examples. And the first one is a hoarder. How many know somebody that was a hoarder, or is, or was? It's kind of scary sometimes, isn't it? Quite often they won't invite you to their place because they can barely get in. And there's a piece of them that knows that this just isn't right. And yet, quite often they can't, they reach a point where they can't stop themselves. It goes past them. By definition, a hoarder is one who keeps a hidden supply to keep to oneself. It's interesting to me that Paul says to Timothy, which we're studying Timothy on Wednesday nights, and it's a great study time. Paul says to Timothy that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. It's going to be a trait as we move toward the coming of the Lord, that there will be more and more and more, if you will, hoarders, not just of things around them, but of the value of me and mine and me only. He says this one here, this third example, servant, if you will, that was given to Mina, he says, I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you're a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. But the real truth of this was not his evaluation of his master, but of his own person. That mina there was 3 months' wages. But let's just bring it to a life. The interpretation, the actual interpretation of this parable would say that this is speaking of the gospel that has been given to each person. We all have the impartation of the gospel. When we receive it, there's a responsibility that goes along with it. But can I tell you, breath came from the Lord? How many are still breathing this morning? Good. How many are hoping to keep breathing this morning? Some couldn't care either way. As I mentioned to you last week, we all get 168 hours in our week. We all get the value of breath if we're still alive. We get the use of God's world. We get to enjoy the beauty of the world that He created. I'm so thankful this morning for my eyesight. Are you? So very thankful that I can look at a sunset or a sunrise and explode with the value of it. I've been privileged to travel a bit in my lifetime and to see some of the beautiful places here in the United States and a few other places in the world. And it's amazing what God has given. There was nothing that you or I did to warrant the value of our eyesight or the ability of that mechanism that He put there in the front of our faces to evaluate and send messages to our brain to be able to identify things, to set the difference between colors. I'm a bit colored blind. Well, you may notice I wear black or blue or these kinds of things. You start getting into the shades, I'm just not sure. Sharon can witness to how many times that I come in and say, does this go? And there's been times that I walked in with green and brown and mixed some of it up because I couldn't tell the difference. But I'm still incredibly pleased with the colors. Even though I may not be able to identify them, I still like the colors. She gets kind of tickled at me sometimes because I like primary colors. Kind of the brighter the colors, the better, because then I can tell what color they are. But thank God for our eyesight. I didn't realize how valuable hearing was until I had the surgery over here and they took everything out, went in deep, took stuff out. It was amazing. But I have no hearing over on the left side. I didn't realize that placement of sound came through having two ears, one on each side of your head. So when I hear a sound now, I can't tell where that sound comes from. I missed the opportunity of thanking and blessing the Lord for the gift that he gave of an ear on each side of my head that I got to have for 40-some years. How do you know what I'm talking about here? I'm incredibly thankful for these legs that can take me from one place to the other. And as I am getting older and, you know, there's a little bit of functional problem in the knees and that kind of business, all of a sudden I begin to realize, thank you, God. Thank you that all of these years that I have been able to enjoy walking about, kneeling down, getting up, never even thinking about it, never even being thankful and praising you for it. I'm sorry, Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Huh? Now, this is not just about thankfulness. This is about awareness, church. Your life, my life, these have been given to us by the Lord. Now, are we a hoarder of that life? Or are we looking for ways to take this life and to put it to use for God? In Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21, there's a story about another man who kind of missed the point. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded of you. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." Now, may I say to begin with, he's not talking about the fact of a need in our lives to have a savings account. But you and I both have known individuals who took that over the top. In that they refused to be a giver. They refused to do anything for anyone else. What they wanted was to make their heap taller, greater, more for me. That's a hoarder. Can I tell you this morning, and you can study this and think about it yourself, the hoarder steward is steeped in fear. Fear is the motivator for most hoarding of things. Once again, a hoarder is one who keeps a hidden supply to keep for oneself. Tina Sinatra wrote about her father in her book, My Father's Daughter. And this I quote, "His health was in tatters and his life was mired in financial wrangles, but Frank Sinatra refused to stop giving concerts. Quote, I've got to earn more money, he said. "I could not bear to see Dad struggle," Tina said. "I remember all the times that he repeated the old maxim, you got to get out before you hit the mat. He wanted to retire at the top of his game, and I always thought that he would know when his time came. But in pushing 80, he lost track of when to quit. After seeing one too many of these fiascos, I told him, "Pop, you can stop now. You don't have to stay on the road." With a stricken expression, he said, "No, I've got to earn more money to make sure that everyone in my life is taken care of." Since Sinatra's death, there have been constant family fights over his fortune. The first type of steward is a hoarder. The second type of steward that I would point to you is called a consumer. Webster Dictionary says that a consumer is one who consumes. It means to destroy, to do away with completely, to squander, to spend wastefully, to use up, to waste, or to burn up. There are those who feel like that every single thing that they get their hands on should be spent. Find an example of this in the life of, really in the life of Zacchaeus, back in the first part of chapter 19. Zacchaeus was a tax collector who had collected many possessions, other people's possessions, by cheating and robbing others. He had filled his own coffers up. He lived the lifestyle at the expense of other people. Consumer-driven stewardship is ego. Studies have shown that the hormone levels of men increase when their team wins and decreases when their team loses. We like to be winners. We start liking things and pulling in things and enjoying things, sometimes that go beyond our means. Spending monies that we do not have is an indication of consumerism as stewards. I want to be careful with this because, you see, our society has made this to be an important part of our society. In other words, our world is running on credit. I'm very aware of that. But I can tell you this morning, as believers, the Lord would have us to not be in debt to anyone. That should be our goal. Now, it's not always possible. And there are things like a place to live and some of those things that, because of the price of them, it is a necessity to have some credit. However, how many people do you know that their ego bought a boat when they didn't have the money to buy a boat? Or ego demands more when they're not satisfied with what they have. Because, see, ego is never satisfied. It's always looking at the next thing. Consumer stewards are always looking at the next thing. The bottom line is that God holds the consumer steward accountable. Zacchaeus, after his encounter with Jesus, stood up and said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." His willingness to give up his consumerism, his hoarding part in part, as he was willing to do that, it was a confirmation of the transformation that the Lord had made in his life. I realized this morning, especially on this slick morning, that I'm speaking mostly here in the house to believers. You see, what is sad, folks, is that too many believers are caught in consumerism. They will even think, oh, I would love to give to this or to that or something else, but I can't because every dime that I get is already committed. That is, I have spent tomorrow's money on today's pleasures. John Wesley lived 1703 to 1791. During this time, Britain was experiencing rapid growth and urbanization. A small upper class spent large sums to distance themselves from the growing problems. The top 5% of the population controlled a third of the national income. Doesn't sound too much different than our own society today. Wesley was part of the lower middle class until eventually he became so well known that he earned £1,400 per year, equivalent to more than £160,000 today. Still, he chose to live simply on £30 while giving the rest away. He donated nearly all of the £30,000 that he earned in his lifetime. If I leave behind £10, you and all mankind can bear witness against me that I have lived and died a thief and a robber. You see, he had an understanding of the fact that every single thing that came to him, belongs to the Lord. I'm a steward of those things. I can tell you this morning that you will not find your happiness in things. I said, you will not find your happiness in things. Thank you, Gene. It's true. Because you see, when you get that one thing that is out there in front of you that you would like to have, then you will want the next thing with the same urgency and the same desire. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, folks, I'm not standing up here preaching to you as one who has arrived on this, but as one who has an awareness of this. That I, too, am striving to understand fully what this means in my own life. Do you understand that? So I'm not standing up here shaking my finger at you and say, you should get this into alignment. This is for all of us. This is God's word. Learning that every single thing that we have received, including our own very life, comes from the Lord. And He is anticipating, He is expecting that we would use this life for His glory and for His praise. The third type of steward is the type that is outlined here with the first and the second servant that came and received their mina, and that is the investor. So you have the hoarder who holds everything to themselves. You have the consumer who just can't spend enough. And then you have the investor. By definition, investor is one who invests or one who allocates capital with the expectation of a return. Remember that God has invested His stuff in us. God breathed into man and he became a living soul. You and I have in us constantly an awareness of God's gift to our life. Let me just challenge you right now. Take a breath. Say, well, Pastor, that's the one thing that I could do today that wasn't a challenge. It just came natural to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for breath. Thank you, Lord, for the life that comes with that breath. Now, how am I investing that gift? What am I doing with that breath? Am I using that breath to drive through my vocal cords to use your name and curse you? Or curse someone else with your name? Or am I using that breath to praise you? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Do you see how God is, what he is expecting in this gift that he has given to us? And as stewards, you and I are, you know, we're getting that breath free, coming from the Lord. Now, you may not take note of it until you get pneumonia or you get something that starts clamping down on that breath. And then every single breath that you take will be of value to you, and you will appreciate it. You'll appreciate it more and more until you can get those lungs opened up and you can get full and deep breaths. Then you will realize, wow, I should have been more thankful when I could breathe. But see, folks, it's more than that. Are you investing the breath? God gives us strength. What are we doing with the strength? Are we hoarding the strength? Are we consuming the strength on all of our stuff that serves us? Or are we investing it in the one who gave it to us? Do you realize when we leave this world, there are only two things that are eternal? The soul of man and the Word of God. He encourages us to lay up treasures in heaven where moth or rust do not corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. He is encouraging us to invest in the eternal. How many of us consume our lives or hoard our life for our own benefit, for our own pleasure, when we received it freely from the Lord? It makes things like giving testimony to other people about the gospel message, it makes them seem like a no-brainer. You know what I'm saying? That if we have been given this marvelous gift of salvation, free and clear from the Lord, by His grace, then He is anticipating that we will take that free gift and invest it. But how many Christians hoard it? How many Christians just consume their own salvation? Almost intent on not giving it away, using excuses, well, that's not my personality, that's just not my way, I don't do that. See, that has nothing to do with it. You have been given this gift free, the breath and the ability, the strength, all of that, the ability to use it. Then we say, how then are we using that investment of God in other lives? I can't take you to this place, but my heart is consumed with stepping into heaven and meeting scores of people that have come to know Jesus because I existed. Because see, the 70, 80, 90 years, whatever the Lord gives me, is just it's like grass, here today, gone tomorrow. But eternity is forever and forever. So here's the thing. See, we can take the temporal, if we're serious about being good stewards, and we can invest what God has put into our hands of breath and strength and life and that incredible message of the gospel, we can take that and invest it into other people and find the assurance that they too will be in heaven. Just think about it. You know, how many people are going to be in heaven because you existed? Because you've taken the breath, and you've taken the strength, and you've taken the mental capability, And you've used those things to share with someone else so that they could have an eternal home in heaven. See, many are rich today in all of these things. Breath, strength, life, they're rich. But you're going to find yourself in heaven in poverty because there was not an awareness or desire to lay up treasures in heaven. You know, we think, well, you know, I'll give my tithe, I'll give some money. Folk, listen, it's much more than money. Stewardship, we're not going to talk about money until later on. You know, yes, it's a part of it, but the real stewardship is what I do with my life. What I do with my breath, what I do with my strength, what I do with my mental capabilities. My hope is this morning to just get you thinking. I'm not even into this to try to change your mind, but just to get you thinking. That everything that you have, including your very own life, you receive from God. And that breath that you breathe and take for granted, that came from Him and is sustained by Him. And you and I would be terribly shocked if He took it away. And terribly disappointed. But if I'm reading this correctly, and I believe that I am, the Master's coming back. And when He comes back, He's going to look at those that He has invested in. And He'll say to us, what did you do with what I gave you? I want to be able to say, Lord, I took what you gave me, the little mental acuity, the little bit of breath that I got, the little bit of strength that I got, and I have made it 10 times more than what it would have been without you. I want to invest it. I pray that's your heart, to not just hoard this blessing of life that God has given to you, to not just consume it on your own desires and the things that give you pleasure, you and your family, but rather to say, wait a minute, I received this from God. I need to invest it in God's stuff. Now you may be challenged to say, well, you know, how can I do this? If you'll listen to the Lord, He'll show you. It may be in the people that are around you all the time that He would say, I want you to begin to show them my love, the kind of love that found you. I want you to begin to show them that kind of love. But God, they're not worthy of my love. Neither were you. Come on. Father, help us this morning. We are recipients of an incredible amount of your blessings. You've placed in us everything we need to be able to enjoy our lives. Help us, Lord, to reckon with this very simple parable that Jesus gave to us. To know that one day you're coming back to see what we have done with your investment in us. And help us, oh Lord, to think about what kind of a steward am I with this one mina, this one life that God has given to me. Am I hoarding it just for my own self out of fear? Am I consuming it with everything in me for my ego, for my pleasure? Or am I investing because I realize there is an eternal tomorrow. God, move us today to know ourselves. What kind of steward am I? I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. You're not waiting to lower the boom on us. You love us so much. You're ready to forgive us and empower us for another day. Thank you, Lord. If there is one who is listening to my voice today or is in this room who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord of their life, may they realize you've done all the work. All that is needed from us is for us to believe, to confess our lack, to confess our need, and to believe that you are the answer for our eternity. And you have promised you will forgive us and cleanse us. I pray today, Lord, that if there are any that do not know you and your Spirit is moving upon them, that they would right now in this place and all over the world that may be listening, and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Savior of my life. And for this day forward, I will use my life as an investment in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord.